memories I've collected, the people I've spoken to, and the journey I've made, you can bottle that and put it away and put it on your mantelpiece, and I can look at those memories for the rest of my life. They are special. So I thank the ABC for that wonderful opportunity.
It's a milestone. Let's start at the beginning. I know it's a long way back. It's gone quick, as you said. When was your first brush with the ABC Northwest? Do you remember?
I do. Back in January 1991, I was asked to come along because our cricket match had finished early the day before in the North Pilbara Cricket Association, and we had had a day to spare, and the gentleman said to me, look, I need someone to fill in at the ABC radio to do all the results from the local sport, like was like cricket and basketball, golf, lawn bowls. And he said to me, this is Ron Tate, and I've known Ron for many, many years, as many people would have done. He said, Peter, you've got an opportunity to impress a few people. I said, oh, yeah, what do I have to do? And I said, well, just sit there and tell us anything about something or someone. And that's how I started out in January 1991. And as people got to know me, hear me, and see me, I grew in confidence. And that wonderful relationship I had with many people, it grew with not one sporting body, it grew into lawn bowls, football, cricket, sport and education. And I took off from there. And I just loved that commitment to the generation of children that have come through the 80s and the 90s. It's my commitment to, particularly in children in sport, that I love so much.
Why is Karratha and this area so important to you, Lynchy? Why do you remain here and so loyal?
It's a good question. I have a love of sport and the love of the community. And having coming from a sporting background from my parents' side and my wife's side, I think that was a gift that I was given, and I've been able to use that to embrace my people skills. I love this community for other reasons, because I've grown up here in 1975. My father used to work for Rio Tinto in one of the major mining companies here. I walked in and got a job, and I liked it after 6 weeks. I'm still here 36 years later. I think the way that the community has embraced me through the highs and the lows, and many people understand that 83 and 2007, I needed a lot of support to pick up the broken pieces of my life. And the first people I would look to give me the strength and the inspiration to pick up and get on with life and put those legacies behind me. And when you've lost two people in your life, I owe it so much, so dearly to the community, that we are one family. And I'm not the only one that would have a difficult time in life. We all experience the highs and lows. But when you've been through what I've been through with health issues in between losing two daughters, I'm only here today because I love the community, I love my sport, and I think the warmth and the feeling that they have for me is reciprocated, and I find it very hard to leave.
Let's take a look at the passion that you've been speaking about, the one that you hold deepest now, a passion that drives you to work as hard as you do. Sport. Let's start with your family. Do you hail from a sporting family?
I do indeed. My father hails from an international career as an umpire in cricket, also as a state footballer for the Glenorchy Football Club, where he played under the great Roy Ghazali. Two great people. My dad, who has just turned 80 a few weeks ago, but I think his ability to, coming from background of five children in the country, and having had that opportunity, my great-great-grandmother, who lived to the grand age of 98, who took me to the football and cricket as a young boy growing up, that gave me the stepping stone for a future in football and cricket. And I maintained that consistency going from one sport to the other. And it brought me to Western Australia in 1969. And I think that gave me a head start in life. And I was happened to be coached by one of the greatest players in Australian cricket, in Norman O'Neill, in the Perth region for a number of years. I enjoyed a fair bit of success with that. And as many would love to know about more about my wife, that she also comes from an international cricketing background, where as a pen friend, I wrote to my lovely wife to be for 3 years, and we fell in love straight away. I toured the islands of the West Indies for 4 months. I had the pleasure of watching the West Indies play England in a test series, but also that my wife had just coming back from playing in an international test series for her country at Lord's in England, and it was very, very successful in taking 5 wickets there. My dad, my grandmother and my wife, they've all got something to say. They've all been a part of my life, and I've been blessed, and hopefully that will inspire other people to do as much as what I've done and go out there and have a crack. Enjoy it. You look at all the people in the community. As we've grown from just 500 or 600 people in the 70s to around 2,000 or 3,000 in the late 70s, into a population that's grown and grown and grown. And we've just attracted so many people from the broader communities of Australia, the multicultural side of it. And that is wonderful for our country to have such a lifestyle where we can bring people in and they give us what they've got, and it adds a new meaning to life and enjoyment. And I think that's why it should be treated. And I think we're very lucky to have a community anywhere in the Pilbara that embraces our coastline, our tourism, our iron ore industry, but most important, the important thing that makes up our community is the people. I fell in love with this community in 1976, like they did with Red Dog. I think people fell in love with me probably about the 1980s, and they got to know me more as someone who would like to get up on a Saturday morning, whether it's the truck drivers or the people going to work or someone going on a fishing trip, and they want to listen to us on the ABC every Saturday morning and hear what I've got to say. And a lot of people will tell you that. Always got a story to tell about someone. And that's what I am coming out here on a Saturday morning. It inspires me. I think Dad's challenge to me was, you live the dream and you dare to dream. Be who you are. Be as good as you can be. But play the sport because it's only a game. And be humble when you're defeat. Be humble when you win. And be graceful enough to say that life will teach you on your journey in sport. That whether you're playing sport in front of 5 people or 50,000. Just enjoy the moment. And I don't keep a lot of records on winning or losing. It's the immense feeling that on grand final day in a particular sport that you're up against the best. And all those months or weeks of hard work pays off. Only one team can win. What happens on the day? How you get out of sight of bed in the morning and how you treat that day is no different to every day in my life that I've had. It's you just take it one step at a time and you look at it and say, yep, I enjoyed that moment.
Any embarrassing stories we can reveal on radio?
Embarrassing.
You must have some good ones over 21 years. That's what we usually do on 21-year milestones, isn't it?
I swore on the radio once in 1999.
Come on, you've got to do better than that.
I got a please explain Monday morning from the boss. There's some funny moments in football where I lost my shorts one day as an umpire. The elastic broke.
How do you lose your shorts?
Sorry, that's another story. So I was a bit uncomfortable with that, a bit embarrassing, but I got the calls for appreciation from the crowd, particularly from the ladies. So look, there's so many things. Look, I've done some wonderful things in sport. Going for the Guinness Book of Records in lawn bowls. I was one of 8 people trying to break a record in Western Australia, and we went 3.5 days without any sleep and decided to go walkabout. I started to hallucinate. I lost my energy and climbing over a fence at 2 o'clock in the morning to get me back on the bowling green. And hence, when I couldn't make it back and I fell asleep, the record for that particular world attempt, we had to stop because I stuffed up and I fell asleep. I was just so tired and exhausted. Everyone came by, had a lot of fun. We raised a lot of money for charity. We didn't get the world record, but the crowd, the bowling club from that moment on grew in stature as a club.
All right, this might be tougher to pick, so I'll let you rattle off a few if you want. Proudest sporting moments for yourself?
Winning the 78-79... B-grade cricket grand final, where I did very well with the bat and ball, but we only played with 9 people. One guy got married on the day of the grand final, the other guy didn't turn up. That's another story. We won that. I wrote that special. My first league grand
final.
Didn't
that bloke's wife want to get married on the pitch?
Yeah, he picked the wrong date. I mean, there's some funny things in that. My first grand final was a league umpire, my 300th game. But most of all, I thank the North Pilbara Football League and the Falcons Football Club and the Rovers Football Club when I did my 1,000th game in 2005. That's a huge mountain to climb. And now having announced my retirement in 2011, I feel approximately 110, 120 games short of the Australian record. Hey, it's just a number. I had more fun and more memories. I've travelled to more grounds in football, had more exciting moments and umpired in more grand finals. The love and the joy for the people and the sport I do is just a bottle full of memories. You bottle that up and you put it away. You can't replace that.